suddenly I was being told to betray him in the deepest way possible.
She said, what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MF-er.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior,
a morally questionable podcast
where two unqualified friends,
two unhinged comedians,
determine once and for all what is good
and what is bad. Hello and welcome to Bad Behavior. I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton, just waiting for a compliment from Sterling Mulberry about my new glasses.
Oh, they are gorgeous. Frames? 10 out of 10.
I will say, feels like bad behavior that you didn't off. I had to ask for the compliment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll be honest, I just didn't even know that they were new. I'm like a man when a girl gets a haircut. It's like, babe, I didn't notice. Sorry.
But these are a different color.
I know they are different. And now I'm noticing and they're gorgeous.
Okay, nice save. Well, anyways, this is Bad Behavior, a podcast where we invite a guest on every week to share a morally ambiguous story. And we'll dig deep and decide if they've exhibited good or bad behavior. And depending on what we decide, they'll get punished or rewarded.
Yes.
Now, based on this little interaction, I'd probably punish Sterling.
Did I ever tell you this, Blair? When I was a kid, did this ever happen?
Well, you're really sidestep. You're trying to get out of this.
No, I'm going to glasses.
Trying to get out of a fight.
Okay, when I was a kid, I was like, do you know what's like the coolest thing of all time is if I got braces and glasses? Like, I was like, I don't know, hit in the head. I was like, that would be so cool. And I actually made up an eye disease, kind of. And I went to the eye doctor to try to get some glasses for myself.
You made up an eye disease?
Well, okay. Okay, do you know when you like look at a light that's kind of bright and then you look away and it's like kind of like yellow? Like,
see spots?
You see spots.
Okay.
So that happened to me as a kid once.
So you were like, I have eye
cooties.
And
so then
I
was like, Mom, I saw spots. And so we went to the eye doctor. I absolutely nailed the eye exam because I kind of was like, forgot about the other portion.
They were
like,
you forgot to put in the work.
Yeah, I forgot. I was like, vision 20, what is it? 20 out of 20? Wait, what's vision? 20 out of 20?
It's 2020.
2020. So no glasses for me, but I did get braces and headgear and a retainer. So
you had headgear? I had headgear too. So I had such a terrible overbite, you could not see my bottom teeth.
Oh.
So they gave me, it was like a retainer that had like a strap that went over my head and I had to wear it at night, which made no sense because when I would sleep, my mouth would go open. So my bottom jaw wasn't even getting corrected.
Oh.
Then when I had braces, they had like hooks in there.
Yes.
And I had to wear it that strapped around my neck.
That's
that didn't
the one
work.
I had.
So they had to pull teeth.
They had to pull teeth?
It was either that or break my jaw. Yeah.
You had extras in there?
I had a bunch of top teeth, so they took two out from each side, and then they pushed them all back so you could see my bottom teeth. Yeah.
Wait, you had too many top teeth, so they took a few out?
I guess.
I hate to be like this. What dentist did you go see? That can't
or maybe,
be right. You had too many top teeth. They just took some out. So you could start to see your bottom teeth?
Well, maybe I just had thick, girthy teeth.
Oh,
that
God.
They were like, you can do without one. It was Virginia, it's basically West Virginia, so they're making up their own rules.
Well, I'm glad all of our teeth are here today. Thank God. Well, Blair, I am truly so excited for our guest today.
Okay, we were so fortunate to have this guy in studio with us. You know him from his podcast, The Downside, plus his stand-up set he did for Netflix Verified. Please make welcome Gianmarco Cerezzi.
Okay, well, welcome to Bad Behavior. We're so excited to have you on today. How are we feeling? We're a few days into 2024. Oh. You came in with a burst of energy.
But with a maniacal look in your eye, like you wanted to do something bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I almost, on the way here, stole deodorant. I say almost. I would never. It's going to take something real extreme for me to take that kind of risk. I jumped the turnstile.
Okay.
I'm okay with jumping the turnstile.
To come to this, you were so excited to see us that you jumped
so
the
excited.
Oh, my God.
And an NYPD officer. I jumped both, did a backflip.
Wow.
I said, I got to make it.
Yeah.
And when I explained it to him, he said, of course.
Well, that's
wow.
Awesome.
No, I ran into a CVS. The line was so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not I have a temper. So like I run and I go, God, are you, God, fuck, dude. And I leave.
Really? Okay. You say that out loud?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. It's kind of in the store.
The word is not interesting. The word is uncivilized, uncouth.
Is it normal speaking tone or elevated?
In between.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
Oh, this horrible way to start.
No, this is perfect. This is exactly what this podcast is
about.
We want
to know what we're getting in for.
I don't do it at people. Like, somehow I installed that in my brain. I'm uncomfortable yelling, like, directly at a person.
Okay.
But I will yell at the sky, at the situation.
Mm. Okay.
100%. Mm. And then I ran into another one. Slightly
CVS.
Smaller line. Yes, yeah, slightly smaller line. Yeah, another CVS, two blocks down. Running almost late. The deodorant's upstairs, ran upstairs. Went to the travel section. Didn't even have time to get into the regular deodorant section. And it could be locked, as
of
you know
course,
it is.
Sure.
And
always.
I can't help with that. And I just saw this small stick and I thought, it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing. I don't have a record.
Yeah.
And I see, you know, you see videos online and it's always like conservatives being like, there's too much crime. But I see people walking out of the CVS with trash bags and I'm like, surely I can get away with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And luckily there was a self-checkout machine.
Thank God.
Well, can I say, first of all, I don't like to brag, but I'm in therapy.
Uh-huh.
And it's all about reframing. And see, what I hear from this is you got a nice little workout in.
Uh-huh.
And you care about your body, that you want it to smell nice for strangers.
Sure, sure.
Not a lot of people would do that. And I want to say thank you right off the top.
Now, I think it's not to – it's I knew you would be sitting at least far enough away that I'd be fine.
Yeah.
I'm going from this to a show of mine.
Mm. Okay.
And I know after the show, I've had this happen before where I don't have the deodorant. I'm good with deodorant in general. This is just
one time.
The year has started and I'm getting
flustered.
Ready.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then people want to take some pictures after the show. And I always think, oh my God, they like my work. I'm going to put my arm around their shoulder and they're going to go, oh my. Because why wouldn't you tell that to everyone you know? If I took a picture with, not to compare myself to Jay Leno, let's say, that feels reasonable.
Yeah.
Like, skill-wise, I mean, you know, I didn't say, and if he smelled really bad, that's the first thing I'm mentioning to everyone I talk to. Oh, Jay, oh, you think his chin's big? Wait, do you hear that, smell that stench?
Well, something else to think about. Okay, so if you're going to a show directly after this, are you going to have time to eat? Because sometimes if I don't eat, I'll start to get a stale taste in my breath.
What now you have to have?
Okay.
All three of
But do you have
here?
A mince? You have California raisins and some, what is that? Sea salt.
Sea salt. This will be great for the teeth. The whole stand-up salad will be like.
Yeah, yeah. So he has
seaweed.
Raisins, seaweed, and nuts?
I have other little snacks in my bag.
Well, what I'm getting at is, do you have a breath mint? Because you got to cover all your bases.
I don't. I normally have gum.
Okay.
I try to, whenever I don't have gum, like, don't get more gum. You're fucking up your jaw. I chew too much gum. It's an anxiety thing.
Mm-hmm.
I need mints for sure.
Okay.
Wish I saw none of out there.
Okay. Well.
So maybe.
But here's my question. Have you guys really been meeting a lot? I was, as you were telling that story, I was rolling in my head thinking, rolling? I don't know. That's not a phrase. Scrolling through memories.
Yeah.
But I really can't remember anyone.
That's why you use scrolling, like your brain, you use social media terms.
Yeah.
And I retweeted an old childhood memory of mine.
Yeah.
That I bookmarked a couple years ago.
I bookmarked. I can't remember anyone really stinky though. Like,
are you talking comedian wise or in general?
Just in general. Like, okay. I can't remember an encounter where I left the encounter being like smelly.
Because I think, well, New York, I think we're all like, when I was in college, and again, I think I'm pretty decent about smell stuff in general.
I haven't noticed anything.
I
We're in an enclosed room.
But I had a roommate who was very shy and strange, but he recognized that I had BO. We were in musical theater conservatory together. Mm. So also we're sweating ballet to voice. And he didn't know how to say it to me. So he told me years later that he would Febreze my clothing. From afar, as if that would help.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
And that was a big, I think like that was my never again.
Never
well,
again.
To piggyback on that, years ago, I had a roommate who suffered from very bad BO. Mm. But I'm polite. I'm from the South, and I don't say it to your face. So what I did was, there was a tiny little end table right outside his door.
I'm scared.
And I bought one of those, you know those deodorizers where you just lift it up? They're kind of like the cone-shaped?
Yeah.
I put one there right outside his door. And my other roommate knew what I was doing, and he was like, sneaky. It didn't help, but that was my passive-aggressive way of saying, hey.
You got to do more than one. One feels like a normal household thing. If you would put 10.
Okay. Or taped it to his door. Like
taped
with duct
to his
tape.
Door yeah. underneath the little sliver in the bottom of the door, just constantly.
Okay. It's a teaching lesson. Next time.
Next time.
Okay. It's hard. I dated a woman who she was like very attractive, and me and everyone else who knew her was like, her breath is terrible. And I don't have the strength.
How long did you date?
I mean, like 3 dates.
Okay.
Oh. And I had a friend who he does things like this where he was just like, he every time be like, hey, anyone want gum? And then would just give it to her and no one else.
Would she take the bait?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But it wasn't strong enough.
Wow.
She needed a fucking one of those cone things.
Well, and also too, could have been a medical issue. You don't know.
It could have. Yes.
So where is she now? Have you thought about checking in with her?
I just look at her on Instagram. Where
okay, so she's alive. That's all. Yeah. You're doing it.
My question is this. 3 dates, but hung out with your friends a lot?
Were
the dates theater, with your friends?
Theater hooking up thing.
Okay.
Sexy theater times. I got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's circle back. You were saying, getting us on track, you're saying that you're the type of person that won't yell to a person,
uh-huh.
but will yell to the world, to the sky. Would you say kind of that is your conflict style in everyday life?
I'm a real mix of interpersonal. I'm hyper polite and non-confrontational.
Mm. Okay.
My father was like very get into arguments with strangers, waiters, hosts, all these things. And it made me so uncomfortable as a kid that I feel very uncomfortable. Someone has to really cross a line. And I kind of sometimes want them to like cross like a real clear like hit me so I can just yell.
Oh,
like
wow.
Let me unleash the beast.
Wait, was he just picking a fight or was it
he would use it to get free stuff in the hotel room and to get ahead of the line. He was a yeller though.
Yeah.
So I also got from him this burst of like needing to vocalize and curse and just go fuck.
Yeah.
And if the train's stuck and I'm late to a spot, anything involving time where the time is crunched, I just start. I the other day I thought I lost my wallet at Madison Square Garden, like I'd lost the night before, and I just it happened really fast.
Yeah,
these are all bad things. I feel terrible. thank God I never had dad who hit me or anyone.
Okay,
but I do. I'll slap a door now and then.
Okay,
I will slap a door. Like just
open.
I think there's open
fist.
I did it today. And this wallet thing happened last week. I don't do it that much. I think it's truly like New Year. I'm stressed.
Yeah, of course.
And it like hit the same part and it really hurts. And I'm like, you, no one can feel bad for you. You're an idiot.
Do you think you have anger management issues?
Sure.
Is that something we should like investigate and expand upon in 2024?
I think none of the doors have broken.
Okay.
But it's like, I remember when I was a kid, I'd slap my bed. Like there's something about... I just feel that I need something physical.
You're getting really worked up right now, and I'm getting a little nervous.
It's usually like alone. It's usually alone, and it's just like I used to talk about it with my therapist because one day I was going to therapy, and the road was blocked off by the cops, and they were doing some kind of construction or whatever.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I need to go there. My therapist there, and they said you need to present a piece of mail proving that you're a resident here. And I was like, my therapist, I have to go.
Yeah.
And they said no. And this also speaks to white privilege.
Okay.
Very close to those cops. Okay. Again, to the sky. I was like, God fucking damn it. This is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And I turned to my right and my therapist was standing right there. And she was like, okay, well, now we know what we're going to talk about today.
Wow.
So none of these are good traits. They're definitely flaring up today and yesterday because everything's coming back. In an aggressive way, and I hit the road tomorrow.
Okay.
And I've gotten better. I'm telling you, obviously, I'm not telling you all the times that I quelled it successfully.
Right.
That wouldn't be a very exciting
tale. I will say, I haven't seen you blink in quite a minute, so I am concerned.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. and listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Earn a globally recognized degree from Indiana University fully online. More than half of IU Online students advance in their careers before graduation, and that can include you. IU Online offers over 150 undergraduate and graduate programs and empowers you with the resources, personalized support, career opportunities, and flexible schedules to help you charge ahead. Visit online.iu.edu to start your future. IU Online. Success starts here.
I think it's time to start a little game. I think we're warmed up.
Before we get into the game, can I just, what is your style with games? Are you very competitive? Or should we expect a door to be hit during this?
No, I do like games.
Okay.
I don't like when people don't play the game. I go, then why are we playing the game if we're not going to play the game? My girlfriend, she's more competitive, and sometimes if it's like a game of the mind and she's doing really well, she lets out a little laugh, and I've expressed that laugh feels mean.
Okay, well, good to know.
good to know. Well, you're really like competing against yourself in this one, so.
Okay, so we're going to play a little game called Heaven or Hell. Now, on your podcast, you talk a lot about rock bottoms.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to present you several scenarios of rock bottoms, and you are going to rate them on a scale of heaven to hell.
Or if you're kind of ambivalent, you're like, I don't care. Purgatory.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
And we promise not to judge you, laugh, or anything. We're all here to support you.
Okay. Thank you. Number one.
You're welcome.
Begging people on Instagram to come to your show that night because you've only sold 5 tickets.
That's rock bottom. That's just brutal because it's too late.
Mm. Yeah.
There's a lot of times as someone who's constantly like, sometimes you say, I promoted the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up in 4 days. I don't think there's any more I can move.
Yeah.
I'd have to do something spectacular, like get arrested for stealing deodorant and still be able to make the show. Yeah. But like that's rock bottom because you're asking for so much for someone.
Yeah.
To give them your whole night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's bad. Okay. That's rock bottom.
Right. That's rock bottom. Okay.
All right. Number two. At the end of a session with your therapist, they say, it seems like I've done all I can for you. It would be best if we parted ways.
So all they don't say, we did it.
I know you could interpret it. You could interpret it that way. You could interpret it as like, I'm solved.
What was the feeling when you heard that sentence? I've done all I can do. Did that sound positive?
No, but the immediate feeling is, wow, money. I there's a lot of money I'm saving right now.
Yeah.
So heaven for a little.
Right, okay. Right.
And then I think like the next 30 minutes, my dad calls and I go,
okay.
I need to get that therapy back.
Yeah.
But I think heaven for a little because I've seen the same therapist for quite some time.
Mm.
Can I ask how long?
I would be guessing, but it must be 5, 6, seven.
Wow.
And it's been in person for a long time and then Zoom since COVID.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've hugged twice.
You hugged your therapist?
I had a surgery the next day and I was like, can I hug you? and then one more, I think it was just a long vacation. It was a lot. I mean, it's surreal.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I'm like, if I died... would she care?
Oh,
who knows?
I would think so. Because not getting the money, you know. she's gotta eat too. You know, there will be some level of concern.
Are you kind of then torn for that one, or which one are you leaning for that?
I think heaven because I've done so much of that work.
Yeah,
clearly based on the whole first half of this episode. None of this
right.
But yes.
Okay.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Number three. Introducing yourself to a fellow comic and they reply, this your first time doing stand-up?
After I've done a set or before I've done a set?
I would say after. Well, I mean, after's the meanest one.
After's definitely mean.
Well, I think
give
it's
us
fun.
Both.
Heaven, it gets me excited. It makes me feel like, I'm going to fucking bury you someday on stage.
Okay.
I'm going to bury you. You saw me on a new material night. I'm going to go all old. I'm going to fucking bury you. I cannot wait.
Okay.
That's what's fun about stand-up. You really do. I mean, you feel it. It's not good, but it's the way of the world where people who are cold and then they see you kill and your whole relationship has now changed. They now view you like a different human being. And that's whatever. That is what it is.
Okay. There's but you so always know that they were cold before.
Sure, but like there's so many comedians running around, so of many course. Comedians, and so many aren't taking it seriously, and so many are bad that it's just one way. It doesn't mean that you're friends, but it means that you're like, okay, we're both really doing this.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, so what was your answer on that one?
Heaven, because I'm like, I'm about to. Yeah.
Oh, true.
Now, is that heaven because they just, you're about to go perform or they saw you already perform?
I think either way. I mean, either like one, I'm going to have like expectation, like, oh, I'll figure out a way to get us on the same lineup. Okay. Maybe I'll book them on my show.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I'll plot it all out.
Stock. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd see that movie. Okay. All right. Your next one. Dropping your phone in the crack between the subway and platform after tweeting that your New Year's resolution is cutting back on your screen time.
That's hell for sure. Anything dropping your phone. I have dropped my phone and I went and retrieved it on the subway tracks.
You jumped down?
Ain't really stupid. It was like I was on the way to a commercial audition.
Okay.
If you know, felt important. And I went for the train. It was on my lap, not in my pocket. Slid down. The train left. I saw it, and it was right there. And I was like Times Square, so I don't know where the nearest like person was.
Yeah.
And it was so close. And I was just like, I'll go down. Yeah. I did not know about the third rail. I do know about it now. It was not close to the third rail.
Oh yeah.
Thank God the third rail is away. I mean, because I wasn't thinking about it.
Now, and for people who are listening outside of New York, the third rail, you'll get electrocuted, right?
That's what they say.
Okay.
They say it's so electric, even if you're pissing. And it gets on the third rail, it will, through your penis, it will explode.
Wow.
But there's rats running all over those rails. They're not getting.
There's a lot of dead rats over those rails, too.
Oh, are there? Okay. That's good to know. Well, I guess it proves that it is. Okay.
But when I was getting out, there was one moment where I put my hand up to, like, you know, like getting out of a pool.
Yeah.
And it didn't jump high enough. And for a second, I was like, oh, no. And, I got it, though.
That's amazing.
You got the commercial?
No.
Oh. Just the phone.
Oh, can I ask what the commercial was, or is it too vulnerable?
I've missed out on so many. I don't even know.
I can't remember which one it was.
I'm really sorry.
Thank you.
But I'm glad you got your phone.
Thank you.
I would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Number five. Telling an unbecoming story about your family on stage, only to realize halfway through that they are in the audience as a surprise.
Totally fine.
Oh.
Heaven. Don't give a shit.
Okay.
They either like my mom, I think no one's offended. The only time a family member's ever been upset, I had a joke where I implied that my mom gave someone a hand job in high school and she thought I was calling her a slut. Mm-hmm. Like that was her. I have jokes where I call her a bad mom.
Right.
Uh-huh. Nothing to her.
Mm. Okay.
But this implication that she gave giving a hand job in high school is not a slut.
No.
And it truly was her. Trigger though, I think it's changed now that she's now dating a while, and she said at her birthday dinner or my little brother's graduation dinner, she said, "I love being at the age where I don't care about being a slut anymore." And I was like, "Jesus,
oh, very Samantha her. Jones of her."
Yeah. So I don't care. Let him hear it.
Okay.
Tell it for them to hear it sometime.
Okay. Great. All right. And the last one, attending your high school reunion and being introduced as a professional clown.
I'd say heaven because what are they? A professional project manager at Who Gives a Fuck, Inc.? Yeah. I'll take clown any day. Okay. You have to own clown. I know right now with the internet, like you're a clown. That's the thing, the way to insult people.
Mm.
But you can't be a clown and be offended. I am a clown.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Okay, there you go.
Heaven.
Amazing. Okay, well, that was our game.
Yay.
You did incredible.
Your prize is knowing you did just a wonderful job answering.
Thank you.
And not hitting our doors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates. so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
So we've asked you to come on this podcast, and I think you know why. You've done something where it's hard to tell if you're in the right or the wrong. And Blair and I are experts when it comes to etiquette and kind of really never done a bad thing in our lives. So we're going to investigate. So whenever you're ready, please tell us the story you brought in today.
So to the most truncated backstory, my parents are divorced. When I was four, my mom married a guy who used to be my dad's lawyer. I don't think it was like a full-on betrayal. Like, it's not like he was representing him at the time. But it was, you know, a little close.
Yeah.
Bad custody battles and whatnot. She ended up having three more kids with this guy, my stepdad. And then things went on the rocks.
Okay.
They ended up having that third kid to kind of keep it going. And eventually it was like, things are going south. We grew up in Potomac. I grew up in Potomac, Maryland.
Oh, my gosh. I'm from Maryland.
Really?
Yes.
Potomac is...
I've never written
a single joke about Potomac in my whole life. It's so bland.
It's a little posh, Potomac, Maryland.
It's posh. And not posh like with like a culture. Just like, ugh, horrible.
What are you talking about? One of the housewife franchises is there.
No, they're all from Baltimore, number one. No one in Potomac would let their spouse go on Real Housewives of Potomac.
Okay.
These are like politicians and lawyers and just no culture and just like... It's like white people without even the culture that like Southern white people would have. Like just like white with nothing.
Yeah.
So they're fighting. Mm-hmm. My mom wants a divorce. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. In Maryland, at least, I think it might have changed. In order to file for divorce, you have to live under separate roofs for an entire year.
Wow.
And as part of the law, you're not supposed to engage in coitus for that year either.
Which means sex.
Sex.
Wow.
And I've never done the research to really know it. I imagine that laws, that kind of law makes me go, oh, that's probably to favor the breadwinner, which at the time that laws were made would have been the man. And it just made it so that if a woman wanted to leave and the man did not, how is she going to go? Mm-hmm. And for my mom and stepdad, that was the case. My mom quit being a lawyer at my dad's behest to raise me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just the long trajectory of the patriarchy. And so my mom at this point was like staying in the basement because she wanted money to move into a place. And because she's from Potomac, she wanted to move into like a posh place.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
She was looking to get out of this marriage. She showed me pictures like, this place looks nice. Not enough room for company. And I was like, mom, you gotta. But
my company, did she mean HJ's?
Maybe. And so they had all this money in a joint account together. And it's contentious. Breakfasts are awful. It's a hell household to live in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And one day my mom picks me up from a voice lesson. I was probably 17 or 18, like senior in high school, or I was back from college, but young. Mm-hmm. And
She says, we need to go home right now. Your stepdad took all the money out of the joint account. Now, with divorces, they're horrible. They can be horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if she would have taken all the money out of the joint account the next day, whether he did the first declaration of war. Mm-hmm. I don't know all the details.
Yeah.
But all I know is that he made a big move.
Yeah.
Okay. And she was freaking out because, then what do you do? So my stepfather, Pash, had a big wine cellar in the basement. He had like built a room twice the size of this room for just wine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That he cared about deeply. And so my mom, she went home and she said, I need to take this wine and use it as essentially a poker chip or as an exchange. I'm going to take the wine and bring it to a friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked me, will you help me load the wine into the car?
Mm-hmm.
And I essentially said no. I just said, I don't feel comfortable. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. This guy was my stepfather for a long time. We didn't have a good relationship when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same, my mom made me go through that when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And then we had a kind of decent relationship. And suddenly I was being told to betray him in the deepest way possible. And ultimately, I don't know the actual court files, but I believe that she couldn't be charged with stealing because they were married, so they co-owned the wine. So mm-hmm. you can't steal something you co-own. But basically, my mother, who's very fit, she's a Pilates teacher, just filled up a car with wine. And I mean crates,
mm-hmm.
splinters in her arms.
Oh, wow. God.
And And for all I know, there was a security camera or something. Who knows? Maybe, mm-hmm. maybe there wasn't, but he could come home. I don't know. He could come home at any second.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know, but there's cameras in the house.
Yeah.
And I believe she took two carloads. So she like drove a whole carload over, mm-hmm. unloaded it, came back, unloaded it. And I was like in my room. I think this was during college because I feel like I was like texting with my girlfriend at the time. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. This is crazy. And it was a really tough moment where I was like, am I betraying my mother?
Uh-huh.
Am I not helping her in her hour of need? Am I in the right because she's the one who put me into this fucking family?
Mm.
You can't from the age of 4 to 19 say this is your guy and now I'm unhappy in the marriage. So now I'm going to leave and now you have to leave it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also like a degree, my father dated a lot of women and when they broke up, those women would be out of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a degree of like, well, you can't do that to me with someone I've known for this long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, from my mom's eyes, she was getting destroyed by someone with a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not helping my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I regret doing it because I have a good relationship with my mom, I think, at least compared to my father. And I have a relationship with that stepfather who is in theory my former stepfather, but still a parent figure in my life.
Yeah.
And that's my I don't know.
Wow.
Do you owe it to your mom?
Hmm.
Do you have to just believe she's in the right? I was old enough and mature enough to know both sides are fucked up here.
Right.
For sure.
No, yeah.
It's not like someone was like abusing someone. It was just a marriage that should have ended.
I wanted to know what happened kind of after. Yeah. Just like a little framing.
What was her response when you were
like what happened with the wine? Like what was the impact?
As far as I know, like in exchange for the wine, she got whatever money she needed to get her own place.
Oh, so she sold the wine.
She didn't sell the wine, but she basically said, if you want the wine back,
okay.
It's currently at my friend's non-temperature controlled basement. But true.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And we're talking like this is his collection.
Yeah.
Other than being a very hard worker, all he does for joy is collect wine.
Wow. How long can wine be room temperature before it goes bad?
It doesn't go bad per se, but with wine people, it's like, well, it's more optimal.
Okay.
If it's in this temperature.
Okay.
So it would have been fine. It could still be there and it would be fine and drinkable.
Okay.
But I think part of collecting wine is just like buying into the preciousness of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And that's, you have to do that to enjoy the thing.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And that's why from the outside it looks so fucking stupid.
Sure. So when you told, when your mom asked for help and you said no, walk us through that moment. What was that like?
It was like really, it was fast because she probably didn't know if he would come home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was terrified he'd come home, and then I'm like, does this get physical? You know, does he start hitting every door in the house?
Right. And you only slap doors at that point. So. Yeah.
And not necessarily like, I don't know. I've never experienced something like this before, so I didn't know.
Yeah.
And God, I was just so terrified that was going to happen. So she said it. I stuttered like, I'm not sure. And then she was like, I think she said something like, it's okay. And then just went about doing it. I don't know if it was like a full, like, it's okay. She's like, okay, it's fine. And then moved on. And it was, I think what was so painful about it is that it was a long process. So it's like, it's not like it happened and she left. It's like, I'm in my room listening to her up and down. Fucking splinter.
God, the splinters in the arms was like really disturbing.
So then did they end up getting divorced?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she eventually got a place. And that initiated the year. Uh-huh. Mm. And then after that year, and I was in college, thank God for some of the meat of this. And then they went to court and had all the battle over alimony and all that shit.
Yeah.
Okay. So after this occurred, do you remember kind of your mindset for the next few weeks? Like, did it weigh on you, or did it kind of seem like it got cleared up pretty fast, that it was like in the moment kind of a moral conundrum, and then, but afterwards you were like, well, that cleared up. I'm kind of glad I stayed out.
I think I like just escaped to college and I didn't have to deal with it. And I'm pretty sure that my stepfather never asked me about it. And who knows? I don't know whether there was a camera and he saw that I didn't do anything. I don't know if my mom told him. I don't know if he just was like, it's hard for me to believe that he was so mature. He said, whatever happened, he's just a kid. I don't buy that.
Okay.
That sounds nice. I just think I went back to college and didn't deal with it. And then it became more uncomfortable like later, because my stepdad would help me out financially and I would go back. And now when I went back home, I was seeing my dad, my mom, and my stepdad. Mm-hmm. And I think my mom felt betrayed that I still had a relationship with him, because as she would express, this guy was like raking her over the coals in court. And those divorce battles get brutal. And my stepdad was a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like a lawyer you did not want to fuck with.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I was in a more unique position than my siblings, because my three younger half-siblings are their kids. Mm-hmm. So that's their dad. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one in the dynamic where it's like, he's not my blood. But again, I've known him the longest.
Yeah. I would say you don't have much memory before that. Like,
he was overly strict and a little bit of a jerk and like subconscious, treating me shitty. And we improved our relationship when I became like a teenager, partly because I think when they were getting divorced, he was so like lonely. Mm. He would turn to me for advice, like in a way where he'd be like, let's go for a jog. And I was like, I'm going to kill myself. And then after two blocks, he'd be like, let's walk for a bit.
Oh,
why is your mom so unhappy? And I was like, I am
I'm
15 years old. Ooh. I don't know why I'm not happy. I think now I know why. Mm. So there was a degree of like, especially my feeling with my mom, I was like, you brought me into this. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing where I felt with my dad, where it was like, if he had a girlfriend, most times if they broke up, we lost touch. Because what am I going to – it's weird. It's a weird dynamic.
Yeah.
But there's a degree where it's like expected that if you break up, then I never see this person I spent time with. And I don't even know why you broke up, because you cheated and you're not going to tell me that. Mm-hmm. So instead I just have to like, sure, you get to decide who comes in my life and who is out of it immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just go, they're crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So – it was like my dad, I had all these periodical ones. And then my mom, this was like a long sustained. Yeah. It was very different dynamics.
All right, Sterling.
Wow.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking this. I think getting a little more details. I think obviously every situation is different. Uh-huh. Of course.
That's true.
But I think, especially with them kind of like
in some ways, your stepfather and her both coming to you in these degrees of like, what do you think? To me, obviously, I'm just like, oh, man, that is hard. Yeah. And I think hopefully other adults could ideally turn to peers or anyone else that aren't young. You were just a teen and didn't even have your brain developed. Maybe you did specifically, but I think most people don't. I think you're in the right to be like, I'm like creating a little bit of a boundary, even though my mom is getting splinters in her arms, which is one of the most sad things I've ever heard. I think like creating that a little bit of a boundary of like, I have to kind of step out of this.
Yeah.
I think that is good behavior. And also it seems like you were then able to maintain relationships with both of them. So like the ultimate outcome, I think, was like you didn't like ruin with that decision to kind of like take a step back, like your future relationships.
Sure.
I will say, you know, I can see that this has eaten you up. You know, you brought this here today. I can see the faint sadness, a sad twinkle in your eye. You're like, what? What is right? What is wrong? And you know what? At first, I was like, you should have helped your mother out. You know, but then when I heard that the father was kind of pulling at you too, putting you in the middle, and Sterling is right, you have to set a boundary. And I believe it was Kelly Clarkson who said, "What doesn't kill you
makes you stronger."
And she was she was the first one to ever say that.
Yeah,
And sing that.
And sing it.
And I think of that here because you helped your mom be stronger. She was like, you know what?
Oh,
she probably got a nice workout.
We forgot about that. That's good. She got a good workout.
She was she got a workout in, because when you get older, health is important.
So true.
And sometimes people, and especially if you're drinking a lot, you know, you gotta moderation. So you made her work for that. Uh-huh. You know? And I love that. I love that for you. And I'm going to say good behavior.
Wow. Okay.
So you did it for your mother's health.
So you've been officially deemed good behavior. Congratulations. Wow. What a long little journey.
What if that made all my pain go away? What if I stopped hitting doors and I stopped getting angry and I was like, that's all I
need? We're going to need an update.
Yeah, please. Well, we have a little reward for you today.
Because, you know, when you win such a prestigious award as being deemed good behavior, you know, you want to prepare an acceptance speech, and I know you didn't. Oh. I can see it. You seem nervous. You're about to hit that wall again, but don't do it because we got you hooked up.
Wow. This is incredible.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled. I think the real definition of good behavior is giving back to your community. Mm. And I want to do that for you guys by turning you guys onto an awesome, awesome business opportunity that will change your lives. I'm part of an incredible organization that can get you cash quick with the flexibility of working at your own pace. I started out giving $100 and doubled my profit in just a week.
Oh.
Get your friends to join and you can quadruple your income immediately. Just wanted to turn you guys onto this. Feel free to DM me any questions, and can't wait to make 2024 the most profitable year for all of us.
Wow. What a speech. So that's so nice of you.
Paying it forward.
Turn that on. I really had to Google a lot of MLM words for that. But
yeah.
And they were all in there. How do you feel?
Good. I'd like to join whatever this thing is.
We'll send you Facebook page.
I'd love to quadruple my income.
Yeah, we'll send you. There's a lot of groups that would that you could probably join to do that. Well, before we wrap up, can you tell listeners where they can follow, find you, anything to plug?
I'm touring all around the country, so best thing to do is to find me online at Gianmarco Cerezi, every platform available. And then listen to my podcast, The Downside, available to watch on YouTube, as a lot of people seem to do, and to listen on all the platforms, The Downside with Gianmarco Cerezi.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening today.
We absolutely hate to do this. We hate it.
But it would mean the world to us if you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, rate and review.
Follow us at Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again for listening.
And remember, whatever your moral status, we are always here to judge.
Bye.
Do you think that was good?